We cover all bases, face it, you can't erase us. Back and forth, watch where it take us. Cultural topics and sports, baby, you know we got it. Always our response is amazing. All bases covered, yeah. Yeah, you know you love it. Our thoughts, they be off of the dome. First to the second, the topics, they change like the weather. Then you know we bringing it home. We cover all bases, face it, you can't erase us. Back and forth, watch how we shine. Cultural topics and sports, baby, you know we got it. Always our responses be prime. All bases covered, whoop. Yeah, you know you love it. No limits to where we can go. So do grab a seat. Oh no, this ain't MLB, but you know it's time for the show. All bases covered, my brothers, yeah, you know you love it. We get it, yeah, we going in. Yeah, we be focused like this is the bottom of night, baby, you know we ready to win. Sports and pop culture, we cover those things that we supposed to.
Welcome to the All Bases Covered podcast. We are here on a Friday night. We got Sam back in the house. We missed you on Monday, buddy. Stupid work got in the way.
Hey,
it's about time Sam shows up. Jeez.
Hey, are you bitching right now, Josh?
Yes, I am.
Are you starting off the show with things that piss me off?
No, but I can.
We're going to get one.
I can.
Actually, yeah, fuck it. Fuck it. Let's kick it off with the things that piss me off right out the gate. Right out the gate. By the way, before we get to the things that piss me off, did you see the thing I sent you about Steve Belichick? Did you see that in a group chat?
Yeah, he looks like he works for Pabst Blue Ribbon.
No, because he looks like he drives the Pabst Blue Ribbon monster truck.
That's pretty accurate, man. That's pretty accurate.
I'll be right back. Not gonna lie,
is he jamming out to Lynyrd Skynyrd as he's driving it? That's the real question.
Probably. Probably jamming out to Lynyrd Skynyrd or maybe some fuck man. What's the other like Allman Brothers?
He's
maybe
listening to Morgan Wallen. Shut up. Come on.
Hey, I like Morgan Wallen. Don't you beat Spurgeon, man. Don't you beat?
No, I know that. That's what I'm saying. He's jamming out to Morgan Wallen.
All right, well, before we get into some sports, let's get into a little things that piss me off, Josh, as I lay down the music. Here we go. All right, Josh, we're waiting.
Things that piss me off when Josh is not on time.
When I put it on mute and I talk about it, exactly. Number five, Cincinnati Bengals fan, because shut the fuck up, let the team do what they need to do, and just relax. Number four, we're going political. Fuck Joe Biden's administration. I hate that they fucking keep putting the blame game on everybody except for themselves. So, fuck them. Number three,
wow.
Ohio weather. Fuck this 70 degrees. And then the next day, it's fucking 25, 30 degrees. Fuck this shit. Number two, Louie. Because fuck him for missing last week's Friday show to go to a fucking birthday party. And also, screwing up our Divas bracket, moving it from 32, taking it from 64 down to 32. And number one, Ohio fucking weather. Just fuck Ohio. I'm moving to Florida with Louie.
Oh, it was the 40th birthday, dude, okay? And then I did not screw up the Divas bracket, okay? I didn't screw up the Divas bracket.
We agreed on 64, and you brought out 32. I'm just
saying.
Dude,
I could not fucking get – it was a lot of work trying to get 64, but whatever. All right.
Hey, a phone call. I was a phone call away, and we could have filled that thing out in 5 minutes.
On a side note, you know what I've been doing for the past week? I've been watching the clip of Joe Biden falling off the bike, like, repeatedly.
That's funny.
All right. So, as you all know, March Madness is upon us. This used to be a time that I really looked forward to. In fact, I used to take 2 days of the tournament off from work, and usually one of the days of the tournament coincided with St. Patty's Day, so I'd find myself at a bar drinking and watching basketball all day, and it was fucking glorious. This was time before I was married and had children. But now, I don't watch college basketball like I used to, and I think a lot of that is because the rosters change every year with all these one-and-dones, and you can't really keep track of players from your favorite program. It's very difficult. So, but anyways, I still watched a little bit. Right now, today, not a lot of upsets happening, although right now, Fairleigh Dickinson, the 16 seed, is beating number one seed Purdue 35-34. But there's
go.
A lot
that's
of
two New Jersey teams. What's up?
I told you that was a team to look out for to get beat first. The first number one to go out.
I didn't think they'd lose in the 16 seed, but there's still a lot of time. There's 17 minutes left, so there's an eternity. But
I mean, I think Xavier was down 13 earlier today and came back and won.
Yeah, I can't believe they struggled so much against Kennesaw State. I can't believe that one.
Did Pitt lose today?
I'm sorry.
No, Pitt dominated today.
Yeah, Pitt beat the brakes off of Iowa State.
Okay. There was another upset today, I think.
Josh, you keep having all that background.
USC got beat.
About to put Josh in the penalty box.
I said USC got beat.
Yeah. Well, I picked Michigan State. So here's what I was going to get to. Every year there's one side of the bracket that's in complete chaos, right? And then usually some of the other brackets are fairly normal. Some will even go like pretty much chalk. This year it's the South bracket that's in complete upheaval. Virginia lost to Furman. Arizona lost to Princeton. Princeton now will face Missouri. I think Princeton's got a really good shot at beating Missouri and moving on to the Sweet 16 as a 15 seed. But right now I would say that Arizona game in Virginia right now probably busted a lot of people's brackets. It fucked a lot of people. Luckily for me in my work bracket, my final four is still intact at this time, but we'll see what happens after the weekend. But I don't know, guys. There's a couple potential really prime matchups that could happen here in the next couple of days. If Michigan State beats Marquette and Kentucky gets past Kansas State, we're looking at a Kentucky-Michigan State Sweet 16 possibly going up against Duke in the Elite Eight. Kentucky-Duke or a Michigan State-Duke matchup in the Elite Eight would draw huge numbers because they're historically good programs. I don't know. Sam or Josh, did you guys fill out brackets for work or with buddies or anything for fun? And so how are you?
No, you know what? This year I didn't get a chance. Usually I do fill out like a bracket with my boys, but this year it just things got, you know, moved up, and I didn't want to start the bracket after like I had a couple of like the games pretty much started on the way, and so
yeah.
I was like, screw it, you know, just I'll watch this year.
No, I was kind of the same way. I like you said earlier, I just didn't get into it as much as I'd like to, so it
yeah.
just, I didn't even get into work one at all, so.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question? Since you guys are college football experts, right? The transfer portal works the same way for basketball as it does for football?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. No wonder people are even more disinterested in college basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because like Kentucky lost one kid and Hopkins, and he's playing for Providence, and they're facing off, so. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
today.
You know what? I don't see. I don't think the portal should exist for basketball because you have the one and done rule, right? So like you don't
yeah.
have that in football. In football, you have to be in order to be eligible for the draft. You have to play X amount of years, right? Including redshirt
yeah.
or whatever else, right? So
correct.
You know,
at least 3 years.
The portal works out for football because I still think there's talented guys that on benches, like, for instance, you know, Joe Burrow before he transferred to somewhere else, right? I think in football it works, but basketball, dude, if the guy's leaving next year, why even, endorse the chance of having a portal?
Well, you know what they've said, too? A lot of the smaller schools are complaining because they basically act like a funnel system to the bigger programs. A lot of these guys who maybe didn't get recognized coming out of high school that ended up going to, like, Furman or UC Santa Barbara or a Kennesaw State or an Iona, and they blow up there for a year or two, and then they transfer to Duke, or they transfer to Arizona, or they transfer to Michigan State, or they transfer to Kentucky. And it's just like, you know, how the hell do you build a program at this point in time in basketball? As a small school, how do you build a program? And then even if you're a big school, you have to toe the line. And I was talking to Josh about this earlier. When you're recruiting kids, you can't just recruit a bunch of five-star prospects that are going to leave you in a year because, yeah, you might have a decent team that year, but then they all leave. You have to start it over again. I think the way to build the roster is kind of like what Kansas does. And Kansas has been doing this pretty good for the past probably, I'd say, 5 years since really the transfer portal became a huge thing. And it's they'll get a couple of guys that are maybe two or three-star prospects that they can develop. Then they'll sign maybe a four-star here or there, and then they'll get one or two five-stars. Those five-stars they know are probably only going to stay a year, maybe two max, but most likely 1 year. That four-star kid, the four-star kids will likely stay for at least 2 years. And then those two- and three-star guys develop, and then they stay there, and they stay there for their junior and senior years. And so if you look at Kansas right now, who's the number one seed and they're the defending national champion, they have a rotation of about 9 kids. Well, 4 of them are seniors, 2 of them are juniors, 1 is a sophomore, and 2 are freshmen. And one of those freshmen is expected to be a lottery pick, that's Grady Dick, and they'll lose those seniors. You know, they got a couple guys getting experience that will be a junior and then seniors next year. And I think that's kind of what you have to do because guys want to play. But if you get 2- and 3-star kids, I think they realize, hey, I'm at Kansas, I'm at North Carolina, I'm at Duke. I might not play my freshman or sophomore year, but if I develop and I get really good, I might play a lot my junior year. And then that's my ticket to maybe getting drafted into the NBA, maybe in the late lottery or late in the first round or in the second round, at least they get to stick on as a rotation player.
I think that Calipari, like at Kentucky, I think he beat that one and done, like kind of wave. He was able to bring in enough good talent every year, but I think the portal just the last couple of years has screwed him in actually building a better team. Because there's guys on his team that are well, but he can't give them the time because he's already promised that to someone that's possibly better.
Well, the thing with Calipari is Calipari is the person that's going to not build a program. All he cares about is getting them players to the next level. That's it. That's why he goes.
No, he's embraced the one and done mentality. Like he expects his guys that are going to the NBA to be one and done, right?
Correct, yeah, and that's what I was saying is that's just how he recruits. So he'll never build a program for these kids to be 3-4 year starters at his program.
Right.
But
he may have more than one one and done person. You know, he might have another player that could possibly be a one and done player, but he doesn't have the room to play him. Right now, he might lose him to the portal to another team. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so let me tell you something crazy. Calipari, to your point, Sam, he kind of figured out the whole one-and-done trend early. His first 6 seasons at Kentucky, they made 4 Final Fours, won a national championship, and then was the runner-up in 2013-14. That was in his first 6 years. In his past 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, in the past 7, 1 year it was canceled due to COVID. The year after COVID, 2020-2021, Kentucky failed to make the tournament. Then last season, they were bounced in the first round. And then before the COVID tournament, they made the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16 and another Elite Eight. But they haven't sniffed the Final Four. They haven't even, like, really looked like a Final Four team since 2018-19. So in the last – this is now 1, 2, 3. This is the fourth season since then. We'll see if Kentucky can make a run this season, but they had not been looking good, and Kentucky fans are very fickle, man. I hear some of them are calling for Calipari's head, depending on what happens.
I mean, it's an
tournament.
Old program, right? It's a storied program, right? So,
right.
You know,
right.
It's kind of understandable in a sense where I can see why the older heads are like, yo, get rid of this guy now. He's messed up the last X amount of years, and we need to get somebody else that can move us forward again.
Yeah, that's Louis is actually.
Hey, Rick
right.
Pitino.
Exactly
Rick Pitino might be on. Rick Pitino might be an option. You know, after this.
He's interviewing at
tournament.
He's interviewing at St. John's. He's interviewing at St. John's.
Oh wow!
After the tournament.
Okay.
St.
No,
John's.
Louis, I'm gonna go. What you said too is Kentucky fans are calling for Calipari's head. They don't like how he's been doing it. They don't like the one and done. They want to build a program to sustain it and be good year after year after year. But these are also the same fans that loved every single minute of it when he brought all them, two championships to him? Multiple Final Fours, Elite Eight appearances,
one championship. But one national title, but four Final Fours in his first 6 years.
Oh, yeah. So
I mean,
that means he was competing every year. But he had a good team every single year.
Yeah.
Those 4 years.
But yeah, I don't. Kentucky, man, it's a hard program. They'll take your ass out. Like they wanted Tubby Smith gone. If you look at Tubby Smith, and they're like, oh well, he won with Rick Pitino's players, blah blah blah. Tubby Smith at Kentucky never won less than 22 games in a season. Never won less than 22 games in a season. He won a national title, and he made three Elite Eights. And a couple Sweet 16s. And then his last 2 years there, they were bounced in the second round. They wanted to get rid of them, and they did. And then they brought in, after that, I think it was Billy Gillespie, who was just an abject disaster for Kentucky. Because after Billy Gillespie, they failed to make the tournament. And pretty much he was only there for 2 seasons. And they made the tournament 1 year, got bounced in the first round, and then they didn't make it the next year. They went to the NIT, and he was fired, and then Calipari's been there since then. But, yeah, I think – I don't know, Josh. I think sometimes you're at a place for a while, and I just think – I don't think he's bringing in the same kids. Now, I want to get to NFL, but I want to point something out, and I wish I could get the audio for it, but I didn't get cleared for the rights for it. Dame Lillard was on the Old Man and the Three podcast. That's the J.J. Redick's podcast that he does with one of his buddies. And Damian Lillard said, I hate the culture of the NBA now. He's like, all these young punks coming in, they're given the keys to the kingdom. They're taken in the top 5, top 10, whatever, and they're told, hey, you're going to be a big part of this franchise, and there's not veterans around anymore, and the league's not tough. And Lillard was just saying, you know, Lillard's not that old. I think Damian Lillard's 32. Sam, I don't know when he was drafted, what year he came in the league, but he's like, the league's changed so much in that time. And I think it comes with these college players, dude. I think these college kids anymore, they know that they're going to be one and done. A lot of them aren't even going to college. If you see a lot of the talent, Sam and Josh, are going to Europe or they're playing in the G League for a year because they feel that they can get better.
So Dame came in like 2012. Dame came in 2012. So he's been around long enough, in my opinion, to see the change of guard. But, like, I know you're kind of referencing, like, John Moran, and I just actually sent you a link for John Moran's older Instagram stories. If you get a chance, take a look.
I saw
it's
that.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah.
It's absolutely mind-boggling that today's NBA players, they're being taught at a college level that it's okay to do these things that they're doing. Like, I don't know if you know about Imani Bates or not. Imani Bates, you know, he was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. He plays for Eastern Michigan, I believe, right now. But he was caught with a gun. I'm sorry?
Didn't he originally commit to Memphis?
Yeah, exactly.
Before?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. So he was pulled over by a police officer with a gun in his car and unregistered, the whole nine, loaded when it wasn't supposed to be, whatever. But guess what? He's still playing basketball, you know? Yeah, maybe he made a life decision that wasn't right, and he shouldn't hold him, you know, accountable just on that one thing. But the thing is, like, it's one thing. Later, it might be worse. So, like, I guess older college basketball players, like, I'm talking, like, our generation, when we watched it, we watched, you know, Tim Duncan play for Wake Forest and things like that. Tim Duncan played all four years, number one, and he stayed out of trouble all 4 years. And then the rest of his NBA career, he stayed out of trouble as well, right? So it was a reoccurring theme. It's like what you set as your foundation before you get to the league is what you will continue to do. So I don't know. I don't know anymore, like, about, like, today's NBA, because I feel the same way that Damian Lillard does, you know. And I watched a video with Reggie Miller, and Reggie Miller said something similar. He's like, you know, when Steven Jackson, Ron Artest, and those young guys came on our team, I saw, like, the blatant disrespect, and they did whatever they wanted to do. They showed up late to practice. He's like, this is not the NBA I want to be part of. He's like, they made me retire. The Mouse in the Palace made me retire from the NBA.
Yeah.
Miller could have had another 2 years. He wasn't that old. He could have had a bench role, like a Jason Kidd type role on a contending team. He could have done that, but he didn't want to be part of it.
No, I
think you're spot on with that. I think kids are coming in with attitudes and entitlement. So, I mean, they're groomed since high school. I'm the best player out here. I get what I want. I'm the best in a college basketball player. I get what I want. NBA, I'm still the best. You might not be the best, but you're still coming in with that attitude. So,
everyone's chasing money. Everyone's chasing money, too, at the end of the day. All they're doing, all these kids, they're chasing money. They're not playing it for the love of the game. They're not playing basketball and football because they love it. They're playing it because they're 6'8", 250, and they could fit a role and they want a contract at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing is everything – I don't want to get too specific on this, but it seems like a lot of things – even, like, let's take hip-hop music, for instance. It's trash now. It's trash. It's all about it's all these fake gangsters holding up guns.
Oh, yeah.
And
talking
about all the money and the chicks that they're banging and stupid shit, right? It's trash. It's trash music. It's trash people making trash music. Like, back in the day, it was angry dudes who were getting fucked over in the hood and talking about surviving, like, being like a regular dude surviving gang wars and surviving, like, police brutality and all this shit. And they were and people like fucking Ice Cube and Snoop Dogg and, you know, all these dudes.
Those guys
shifted.
Beat the odds and they made music about it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and now you got, like, fucking trash dudes like Tekashi 6ix9ine and all these other fucking mumble rappers and fucking trash artists that fucking blow dick, dude. Like,
do you know there are rappers now that are trying to break into the game that are paying people to be in a gang? Like, literally, they're paying gang members so that they can rep that gang and show that street cred. But they don't have an idea of what it is to live that life. Their lives are completely different.
It's terrible, dude. A lot of these dudes, like, are just, they're not good. They're not good. They can't hold a candle to them. And that's everything. And you get these young dudes who think they're tough because they hold a fucking gun around. And I'm just, Like, John Morant, you're not tough, dude. You went to fucking Morehead State. Let's get real, man. Let's fucking be real, dude. Let's just stop pretending. But I want to move on. We got about 30 minutes left in the show.
Breaking news.
Okay,
The Bengals just signed Nick Scott for 3 years, $12 million.
Okay, solid. Solid signing. I'm still hoping we land Taylor Rapp or maybe make one last big move, but okay, that's good. I'll take it. We also had Foster Moreau from the Raiders visiting, who was a pretty solid tight end. So we'll see what happens there. But Nick Scott, I'll take. That's a solid.
I would have taken a flyer on Mike Gesicki, man. I would have taken a flyer on Mike Gesicki.
I wanted
him. Patriots did a 1 year deal for him.
I wanted him, but he signed with the Patriots. He went to New England, so that's
Dalton Schultz is still out there, though, fellas. Dalton Schultz is still out there.
No, but Dalton Schultz can't block as well. He's not a blocking tight end.
That's true. But you can draft a guy, you know. Too. I mean, the Bengals also might look to the draft to fill that spot. Well, it's going to be interesting. I do want to get to more of that later. So far, I want to know, Josh and Sam, who do you think the biggest winners free agency are and who the biggest losers of free agency are so far? Because I have my picks, but I'm curious what you guys think.
I mean, right now, I think Carolina is going to be up there. I think they're making moves. What's that?
I said I think they've made bad moves, but go ahead.
I mean, they got the number one draft pick, so obviously they're going to get the quarterback who they want.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a tight end that can block for that quarterback to help him out. They signed a safety that was pretty damn good for the Bengals. So I've liked what they've done. So is it going to help them? Maybe. Maybe not.
Okay.
And didn't they just sign Miles Sanders too? So
yeah,
they have a running back now.
I think that's a pretty good observation. I'd say I definitely agree with that. I think quietly, like, the Steelers are actually quietly rebuilding their defense. They've let go of some mainstays. Devin Bush is no longer there. I think he just signed with the Seahawks. I don't think they have Miles Jack anymore either. But they're quietly making small-time moves, and I think that they're good enough to also have a good draft to have an improved team next year. I don't know in what sense. They still need a quarterback, in my opinion, but let's see. Let's see if Pickens and Pickett combination can go far, right?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, my biggest loser so far is the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs lost their two starting tackles, Orlando Brown and then Wiley. They lost Juju Smith-Schuster, fine. They're not going to re-sign Mecole Hardman. They're going to let go of Frank Clark.
They did get a left tackle, so they didn't completely lose.
But hold on.
Both tackles.
Hold on. I'm going to get there. They got Jawan Taylor, who has never played left tackle in his entire career. Never played it before. They brought him in to play left tackle, but he's never played it before in his career. And so it makes me wonder. And now the Chiefs are basically saying is, okay, maybe we'll draft a receiver, but we have a lot of faith in Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney, when he's able to stay healthy, looks like a good player. He can't stay healthy. I don't think all of a sudden a dude that's missed 15 games in his first two seasons is all of a sudden going to stay healthy for the majority of the season.
Oh, no, I agree. I mean,
yeah.
No, go ahead, sorry, Mike.
No, I was just going to say that I just don't think trends are trends for a reason, right? And if a guy can't stay healthy their first couple of years in the league, what's going to happen later on? Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, no, I was going to say I definitely agree with you on that. Like, it's not going to, like, there's not going to be a miraculous change. But I really do like Sky Moore a lot. So I still don't think that they're making the right decision, because you're losing help on your O-line, and now you're losing targets Mahomes needs. Travis Kelce is still aging. He's doing really well as he's aging, but he's not getting any younger.
No,
and they have Marquez Valdes-Scantling or something like that. They have him as well.
We did forget to mention they also lost their offensive coordinator, and Eric Bieniemy. It'll be interesting to see how the new coordinator comes in, even though we know Andy Reid kind of runs that offense anyway.
But it's a new old coordinator, right? Isn't it Matt Nagy?
Oh, yeah, it is Matt Nagy. I think it is Matt Nagy.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. While we're talking about the Chiefs, before we get to some more free agency news, I want to talk about some of the heat that I've been catching on Twitter. Our Twitter account that's been catching it, and the arguments that I've had. So, and then Nick Wright, who anybody that's been listening to our show knows that I fucking hate Nick Wright. I hate his fanboy style. That just bothers me. But anyways, he talked about Orlando Brown leaving, and he said that the gap, because Chris Broussard was like, I don't think there's a gap between the Chiefs and the Bengals. He's like, I know the Chiefs have won two Super Bowls. And then Nick Wright's like, the gap is massive. And the Chiefs fans that I've been talking to are like, the gap between Mahomes and Burrow is huge, and you guys aren't even close. And I'm just like, all right, let's calm down and let's look at facts here. And I pointed out facts. I pointed out the fact that the Chiefs needed every minute of the AFC Championship game to beat us, and we were down three starting offensive linemen. That was huge, right? So that's fact number one. Fact number two that nobody wants to listen to except for you know, Bengals fans and people with a brain, is that the Bengals' highest-rated offensive lineman in pass block win rate was Jonah Williams. He ranked win rate was dead last in the league at 50%. Dead last in the league this past season. We made it to the AFC Championship game. We had the ball with a chance to go win the game, and Frank Clark sacked Joe Burrow, and we didn't have enough time. I told Josh this before when we've just been bullshitting. If the Bengals go from 30th to, let's say, like 16th in pass block win rate, nobody is fucking beating them. Nobody. Nobody is beating them. And Chiefs fans, I think Chiefs fans, I rooted for the Chiefs to win that Super Bowl when they played against San Francisco because they hadn't won for a while. Now they got a couple championships in them, and they think that they're, like, the shit. And it's like, dude, be happy. Enjoy the wins. But you guys haven't – they haven't won a Super Bowl since Super Bowl fucking two. The second Super Bowl was the only championship that they had. And then they win a couple Super Bowls because they got a great quarterback in Mahomes. And now all of a sudden they're the model fucking franchise. And it's just like, give me a fucking break, dude. Give me a break. Like,
I mean, but Chiefs fans can, if they're smart, they'll realize, like, they saw Patrick Mahomes with a hobbled O-line lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they have to understand how important that is. When you have a great quarterback, protecting that quarterback is probably number one, like, thing on your list to do is protect his ass, right?
Right.
Yeah, and to Louis' point, played them. We didn't when we played them with our full offensive line, they couldn't stop our offense. Their defense could not get to Burrow. They didn't sack them, and we rolled that in that game. Now we're down three offensive line. You're getting to the quarterback. You're sacking Joe Burrow. So that's the reason why you won. because you got to the quarterback.
And they still only won by 3 points, Josh. They won on a last-second field goal to win the game.
Exactly.
Down.
And it was some suspicious with the call, the no call on the holding.
Right.
Even though it looked holding to me.
Yeah,
they had the
ball bounce their way, you know.
But if Joseph Addai doesn't push Mahomes, that field goal is what? Almost 55 to 60 yard field goal, which
it's in the high 50s, but Bucker still could have hit it, bro.
He could have hit it, but
he's going to
get pressure. I think pressure would have got him, and he would have missed it, just like he missed it earlier in the season. So.
It's just, yeah. I think, at this point, and I know I'm being a super fan, but I didn't pick the Bengals in the Super Bowl this past year because I think it's very hard to go to back-to-back Super Bowls. It's difficult, right? Especially when you're on the losing side. But I do think that the Bengals will be my choice to be in the Super Bowl this year from the AFC. I think if they went out and got Cody Ford and Orlando Brown, even if the Jets get Aaron Rodgers, which he said on the Pat McAfee show, that's where he intends to play. If the Jets and Packers work out the deal on the compensation, I think the Packers are asking for way too much than what the Jets want to give up. Because they're asking for what boils down to 2 first-round picks and a second-round pick.
No, that's not true. That was thrown out. Schefter put that out there, and that's not true. Like some of that stuff is not true because – I read another article yesterday that says that the Packers probably want this to happen quicker than the Jets do because after a certain point, his salary becomes guaranteed. There's other incentives and things of that nature that come into play if you're on that roster, and he's still on that roster. They're stuck paying him either way. If they don't move him, they still got to pay him. So,
I think
when he came out and said on the show that he was going to play for the Jets, it's just a question of when, that just took away all of the Packers' leverage. Like, now the Packers know that he's going to play for the Jets, and the Jets can go ahead and lowball them. A first-rounder, a second-rounder, and maybe a flip on a third year, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't give up a farm for Aaron Rodgers. What are you going to have him for, maybe 2 years? 1 year, 2 years?
Yeah. 2 years, that's so it. That's all his guaranteed money is left. His guaranteed money's done in 2 years.
So
exactly.
It's only 2 years.
Why? I wouldn't mind throwing away a third, a fourth round to go get him. That's what he gets.
See, that's where I disagree. I think the win now mentality would be, I'll go ahead and give up a second rounder, next year's second rounder. I'll go ahead and give up this year's second rounder, but they want this year's first. They want that 13th pick. Go ahead and take it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because historically, the Jets don't draft well besides defense. Honestly, they don't. Our second-round picks have been busts upon busts upon busts. Stephen Hill is one of the most notable fucking second-round busts that the Jets have fucking had over the years. I keep bringing him up because he sucks. I can't believe we drafted this jackass in the second round, bro. I can't believe it. But at the same token, I'm saying we draft bad, so I'll go ahead and take that gamble. Because the Jets are just bad. We have bad scouts. Only thing we can get right is defense. That's it. Everything else can go fucking.
Yeah. I'll tell you though, Sam, you might not agree with me. With Aaron Rodgers, the Jets are still no better than at least the fourth best team in the AFC.
I'll disagree with that.
Look, man, all I'll say is that last year, right, if we had scored 21 or 22 points, maybe even 24, right, points per game,
okay,
we actually would have been 12-5.
So,
if they had Aaron Rodgers last year, yes, they make the playoffs, and I think they can make some noise in the playoffs if they had Aaron Rodgers last year.
I'm saying is Rodgers gives us a shot, bro. Rodgers gives us a shot.
He gives you a shot,
but I want to get back to why Josh disagrees, because I said they're no better than the fourth best team. So are you Are you taking the Jets ahead of the Bengals?
Yes. Yes.
Not the Bengals, but I'm going to put them above Miami. I'm going to put them above the Bills with Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not putting them above the Bills just yet.
You got to remember.
When we beat the Bills, without
exactly.
Aaron Rodgers. So,
exactly.
You know.
They split the season. I think the Jets have the better defense out of the two teams. And all you got to do, if you have an offense, you're going to take away Buffalo's ability to move the ball, right? If they don't have the ball, they can't score. And New York's defense can stop Buffalo. We've seen that last year.
I'm telling you, our defense is here to stay, bro. It's legit. We got to cash out on our
fifth-year
options on our defensive guys, you know, that we have, that we've drafted, you know. Whatever time we have with their young defense, we got to take it.
The defense is really good under Rex Ryan, though, for a couple of years. And they made
You're absolutely right. And at that point, if you ask me, at that point, if we could have gone out and gotten a star QB at that point, it would have completely changed our landscape as a team. And I'll tell you why. We cannot draft quarterbacks, bro. We just can't.
No, you can't.
I don't know what to tell you. We suck at drafting QBs. So now
except
that's
Chad
being
Pennington,
said...
Dude.
Listen, there was maybe Chad Pennington is he got hurt though. You know, if he hadn't got hurt, he was good. He was really good, man. He was really good.
Yeah.
But let's go back to saying that since we can't draft a QB, why not go get one?
They both work small.
Yeah.
Exactly. If they get Aaron Rodgers, they're probably the third best team in the AFC. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
And you know what?
We'll see.
Mike, I'll go ahead and even say this. Our O-line is actually really good, believe it or not. Because our O-line was creating monster holes for Breece Hall before he got hurt. Monster holes.
But you have to understand, Sam, they spent money. They spent draft capital on that offensive line the first couple of years after taking Zach Wilson. They got Barrett Tucker.
True.
They got a bunch of dudes. They're talking about taking it. I'm hearing the Jets are interested in taking possibly Broderick Jones at number 13, the massive offensive lineman out of Georgia, with the 13th pick if they still have it. If that might go to Green Bay, I don't know. But they were talking about addressing maybe getting another tackle in there. So,
believe it or not, even those Rex Ryan years, we had a good O-line, man. We had Nick Mangold. We had good O-line.
You guys brought in Alan Faneca from the Steelers, who's in the Hall of Fame. It was a massive O-line. But all right, we got about 15.
I mean, we
got
to play to our strengths. We do O-line well. We do, defense well, CBs well, right? Tackles and ends we also do well in, I would say so, right? We can't get quarterback right, bro. I don't know what to tell you. If we had gotten it right, we probably would have been.
And you're hit or miss on wide receiver. Some of them are really good. Other times it's like, what the fuck?
Right, exactly. Oh my god, bro. Man. I have sad draft picks that I have. I have a list of sad draft picks that the Jets have made in the last 10 years, and I'm like, why? What were you thinking when you made this pick?
Where does Vernon Golston rank there?
Shut up, bro. Shut up. He's number one.
Hey, I love that Ohio State player.
And so is D.
Shut
Milner.
Up.
That asshole D. Milner also belongs there too.
Oh yeah, D. Milner. That's right. Oh fuck. All right, guys. We got about 14 minutes. I still want to cover UFC. I want to talk about the Mississippi lynching of Rasheem Carter if we can. And so let me go to our Divas bracket and give the results of the first round. All right. And we got a lot of really good matchups. We had some really great matchups in the first round. But let's see. Stable is moving on. She passes Gail Kim. Stable took home 85% of the vote. Miss Elizabeth is moving on. She takes out Mickey James as Miss Elizabeth garnered 62% of the vote. Becky Lynch going over Ava Torres. Becky Lynch with 90% of the vote. And then Lana going over Rosa Mendez. Lana with 75% of the vote. So we got Sable and Miss Elizabeth, and we got Becky Lynch and Lana out of the top bracket. We'll call it the Midwest bracket. In the South bracket, Stacey Keibler goes over Chyna with 100% of the votes. Candice Michelle takes out Brie Bella. Candice Michelle going over with 55% of the vote. Paige narrowly taking out Sasha Banks, 52% of the vote. And then Ava Marie And then Ava Marie takes out Brooke Adams with 65% of the vote. Tori Wilson going over JoJo. Tori Wilson with 90% of the vote. Mandy Rose going over Dr. Britt Baker. Mandy Rose with 65% of the vote. Lita taking out Sunny. Lita going over with 55% of the vote. That was another close one. And Maurice takes out Natalia. Maurice with 85% of the vote. Trish Stratus over Ivory, also 100% of the votes. AJ Lee going over Ronda Rousey. AJ Lee going over Ronda Rousey. AJ Lee getting 70% of the vote. I was a little shocked on that one that she got won by so much. Kelly Kelly narrowly edging Peyton Royce with 10% of the vote. And then Nikki Bella taking out Chrissy Hemme with 55% of the vote. So here are our matchups in the second round. Sable, Miss Elizabeth, Becky Lynch and Lana, Stacey Keibler and Candice Michelle, Paige and Ava Marie, Tori Wilson and Mandy Rose, Lita and Maurice, Trish Stratus and AJ Lee, and Kelly Kelly and Nikki Bella. Who's a sleeper that's left?
Paige. Paige is a sleeper.
Okay.
She's a sleeper because she has a sex tape out. That's right.
Becky Lynch is my sleeper. Yeah. I mean, Becky Lynch is in probably the most winnable division or winnable bracket, right? If she gets past Lana, it's Sable or Miss Elizabeth to get to the Final Four. And I think Becky Lynch is
Sable is still a tough one to cross, right?
It is. Sable's going to be tough to beat, but I think Becky Lynch can. To me, the toughest bracket to get out of, I thought it was the Trish Stratus bracket, and that's pretty tough with Trish Stratus now having to get past AJ Lee and then face Kelly Kelly, Nikki Bella for a chance to go in the Final Four. But the Tori Wilson, Mandy Rose, Lita, and Maurice bracket is extremely difficult.
That's the best bracket right there.
Yeah. I think Mandy Rose might take out Tori Wilson. I'm not sure. I would personally vote for Tori Wilson because I think Tori Wilson is much more attractive than Mandy Rose. But we'll see. But to Sam's point, Mandy Rose has scandalous pictures out there. Tori Wilson hasn't posed in Playboy in 20 years. So a little different. But, yeah. I don't know. I don't see a true sleeper. I don't see someone like – I don't see, like, Lita making a run to the championship, right? Like, I don't think that – even if Lita
–
I
don't see that happening either.
I don't think she's getting past Mandy Rose or Tori Wilson. And I don't see someone like AJ Lee making a run. I think there's going to be a lot of close matchups, though. I think Kelly Kelly and Nikki Bella is going to come down to the wire. And I really do believe that Tori Wilson, Mandy Rose is going to be extremely close. So we'll have that for everybody next Friday. That'll be we'll reveal who's heading to the next round the next week. So, all right, guys, this Saturday, a really big UFC fight night coming up. UFC 286, the main event is Kamaru Usman and champion Leon Edwards fighting at welterweight. But you got, how do you pronounce the last name? Is it Gaethje? Sam, is it
Gaethje?
Yeah, okay. He's fighting on the undercard. Gunnar Nelson is fighting on the undercard. The preliminary card, okay, but the main card looks to be pretty good. And I think that Leon Edwards-Usman fight is going to be fucking fantastic. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, no, I have to agree. It's a little bit of excitement for the division because it hasn't seen much, right? And you know, I really do think, and here's the thing. So Usman ran off like multiple defenses. He was close to hitting Anderson Silva's record for title defenses and wins and things like that of that nature, but. You know, obviously the loss to Leon Edwards changed everything, but I feel like he's going to come back, like, trying to finish it in the first three rounds. And I see that happening just out of pure, like, just, you know, hatred towards the guy that ended his streak, right?
Okay.
So I think I think he has just enough left in that tank because he's getting older. He's 35, 36, I want to say. He's just hitting that point where with a win and the belt back, he might move to boxing after that. You know what I'm saying? To make some more money. Just the way, you know, these other UFC fighters are trying to go to boxing.
Yeah, he's to your point, Sam, he is 35, but he'll turn 36 in May. So.
Yeah. So his clock is ticking. His clock is ticking.
Yeah. To your point, though, I think Leon Edwards is also, he's 31. So he's a little bit younger, but
he's got less tread on those tires.
He fought Kamaru Usman really tight in 2015. That was the first time they fought, and Usman won it via unanimous decision.
Yeah.
But it was a tight, really tight fight. And then this time around, he KO'd him. But the thing about those KOs, Sam and Josh, you know as well as I do, I don't want to call them fluky. But sometimes really great fighters just get caught. They maybe aren't expecting it, and all of a sudden
their chin's not where it used to be as well.
Yeah, that's true. Now, sometimes a bad knockout ruins a guy's fucking career. To me, when Conor McGregor knocked out Jose Aldo in, like, what, 19 seconds, I think Aldo's career was done at that point in time. I think it ruined him. And Aldo was never the same fighter after McGregor knocked him out in 19 seconds. And to that point,
But Aldo, when Aldo fought him, he was kind of already like already accomplished. You know, he had already done everything he needed to in two different promotions, really. You know, and
that's true.
He didn't need.
Point.
I mean, like Conor McGregor. I'm not saying nothing against him. He took out a legend, you know, in the division.
Yeah.
But he took out a guy that. If he was in his prime, he probably would have ate that punch and kept going. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And you know what? For me, the Khabib submitting McGregor ruined his career because after that, McGregor beat Donald Cerrone, but then lost to Dustin Poirier twice. He's lost three out of his last four fights.
I think he's got a lot of mileage on him as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys are right with that. With the lucky shots, you got Leon Edwards with that. I mean, that was just a lucky kick that caught Usman and knocked him out. You look at Anderson Silva; his career wasn't the same when he kicked Weidman and broke his shin. Right?
Yeah.
He was never the same fighter after that. And then it was kind of funny that Weidman had the same injury, same type of kick.
Yeah.
Talk about karma.
You know who's up and coming right now, in my opinion, just real quick, so then we can move on if you want. In the welterweight division, there's this guy named Shavkat Rakhmonov. Shavkat Rakhmonov.
Okay.
And this guy is absolutely wild. Like, wild. He is so good that I don't even know what to say. And he's going to get a shot. Like, he's going to change the way the division is structured, but he's one of those up and comer guys where I think he's Dagestani, just like Khabib was. So his wrestling and his submission game is on point.
I don't know what weight class he's in, but I'm a big fan of Sean O'Malley. I've liked watching him fight.
Also, I think he fights in 155. I'm not sure. Maybe he's like one division lower. I'm not sure.
He might be a little bit lower. Real quick before I'm going to get to this lynching, there's 55 seconds left, and Fairleigh Dickinson is up by 3 points against Purdue.
Hey,
oh, shit. Is this the second time ever?
Yeah, it might be for the second time ever. If you're listening, folks, you might want to turn on the TV as Purdue is down 3 points with 55 seconds left. So that's a tight one. We will keep you posted to see what happens maybe before we go off air. But that's kind of crazy to me right now that Fairleigh Dickinson is beating Purdue right now. All right, real quick. We only got about 2 minutes left in the show. I don't know if you guys have heard much about the Rasheem Carter case. He was found
dead. I have not heard a thing about it.
I haven't heard anything about it, Mike.
All right, so let me give you guys a quick background. Rasheem Carter, a 25-year-old black man in Mississippi, was found dead last fall. He called his mother and said that he was being chased by white men who were hurling racial slurs. He went into the police department asking for help. I guess nothing happened. Later on, they found his body. They found his body decapitated and his remains scattered. A little bit ago, now they're backtracking, but the sheriff's department said that their early determination was that there was no evidence at this time that pointed to a homicide. So
was there like a rabid bear or something walking around?
He was decapitated.
Seriously,
and there's
like,
no evidence of foul play?
Yeah, he's decapitated and his remains are scattered and there's no evidence of foul play or that it was a homicide. So he just killed himself like that? Somehow he just cut off his own head and scattered his own remains around?
Or he encountered the cocaine bear.
Oh, yeah.
So
he got the
cocaine bear. Scattering, yes. I could see the scattering of body parts because if the body's found and it's cut up in that area, you could have wild animals come and move the body parts, right? I could see that.
Yeah.
But other than that, somebody had to cut his fucking body apart, right?
Right, yeah.
And it's Mississippi. Yeah. It's not. They don't have big fucking lions. They don't have big cats. They don't have big bears.
Right.
So... He got cut up.
Yeah. And now they are saying, okay, now they're coming back around because there's been immense backlash because everybody's saying what I'm saying, which is the fuck. How do you say there's no evidence of foul play and the guy's head cut off? Like, seriously. Like, I feel like that scene in Dumb and Dumber where he's like, we got no food, we got no jobs, our pets' heads are falling off. Like, how do you look at that and be like, nah, it was natural, he died of natural causes. Like, I just don't know. Like, they're just kind of sweeping it under the rug, and I just think that's a fucking shame, dude. You have a dude that was fucking murdered, and...
Hey, can I ask you where it was in Mississippi? Was it like a rural town, or was it like a city, or...
It was in Jackson, Mississippi, which, I mean, Mississippi is just a shit state. Let's just put it out there. Mississippi is a shit state. I would never live in Mississippi. So any of our listeners who are from Mississippi, if you want to call in and yell at me, go ahead, but you probably don't know how to work a fucking phone.
Wow.
State.
Hey,
wow. Trash state.
Man, you're like full of hate. You hate Middle Eastern people and now you're hating on these people. What the fuck?
Dude, Josh, I'm just finding my lane, bro. I'm just finding my lane.
All right, Stephen A. All right, Nick
shit.
Wright.
Ouch. Ouch. Don't you fucking put that shit on me.
It's already been put on you. You are now known as Nick Louie Wright.
By the way, 29 seconds left. Fairleigh Dickinson still up by 3 points. So that upset. I don't know who has the ball. Oh, Purdue just blocked a shot. Purdue right now just need to get the ball and try to get the tie.
Well,
this is crazy.
They're seeing who the ball went out of bounds, and they're trying to see who touched it last to see who got the ball. Oh, they called Purdue ball. Yeah. They got lucky on that one.
By the way, if you haven't watched it, guys, I highly recommend it's on Plex. Watch Cocaine Bear. It's fucking awesome.
Oh, you got it on Plex already? Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, we're watching Cocaine Bear.
Dude, if it's like, it's fucking campy and like just random funniness. Like, I think my favorite, I won't ruin it. I'll wait till you guys watch it. Sam and Josh, before I talk about it with you, but there's this part in like the first, like, I want to say 30 minutes that I was fucking laughing my ass off. But yeah, it's funny. It's got like some pretty gruesome deaths. But it's a good movie. It's a good, like, it's like a good little B movie, I would say. But
is it this generation's like Lake Placid or like Sharknado or something like that?
Yes, dude. Yes, exactly. Like, what are those,
all
like,
right, I'm gonna like it. That means I'm gonna like it.
Yeah, kind of like a cult classic.
Yeah,
it's or like
Sharknado.
So it's better than Sharknado. I'll tell you that much. I would put it up there with like Lake Placid or like. Do you remember the movie Piranha?
Anaconda. Yeah, I do. They made it in 3D as well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I would put it up there with like that. That kind of movie, it's good. Or like you remember how like kind of like campy and cheesy like Chucky was, like you know, Child's
right.
Play was kind of like that shit too. Yeah,
I would say like the same thing with Leprechaun, no? Being
yeah,
St. Patty's Day,
yeah,
I would
exactly.
say it's cheesy as hell.
Yeah, well, God, Leprechaun in the Hood, my favorite.
That was the best one, man.
That was the best one, Leprechaun in the Hood. Yeah, can't change my mind. All right, guys. Well, that is all the time we have. Looks like, I don't know, man, Purdue, there's 18 seconds left. I was kind of hoping to see what happened there. But that's all the time we have. We'll be back on it on Monday. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will be back at it. Take care, guys.
We cover all bases, basic, you can't erase us. Back and forth, watch where it take us. Cultural topics and sports, baby, you know we got it. Always our response is amazing. All bases covered, yeah. Yeah, you know you love it. Our thoughts, they be off of the dome. First